Well, this morning we're a little rushed because of all the things we had to do. As I was preparing this morning's message, it's usually the case I have too much Bible, too much to say, too many things that are just so good from the Word of God that we'd like to talk about and we'd like to share. And there's a lot of things that in this morning's message. This morning's message was kind of simple. It was look at the harvest and have a heart for the harvest. Get God's heartbeat for the harvest and put your life into that. And we talked about Jesus lifting up his eyes, seeing the multitudes, being moved with compassion. And that's where we started this morning and how he said, pray there's to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And that was this morning's message. But there was a lot of things around the story and in studying it, I will study a lot of scriptures that I will not use for the message, but they just give me context or I just don't have time, or a lot of things. But there were so many things that had to do with this message that I think would apply to this morning's message. I would have been preaching for an hour and a half. And so I decided just after some prayer, instead of preaching what I was thinking about speaking, is just felt the Lord kind of pushing us toward talking about the things that were happening around that time in Mark chapter 6. And let's start at Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. It said, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. For there are many coming and going, and there was no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew them, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto them. And Jesus, when he came out, saw the people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. I'm going to title this message, It Wasn't What I Wanted, But It Was Great. It wasn't what I wanted, but it was great. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, wonderful things in here, Lord. We thank you, Father, for giving us so much truth. Lord, the Bible's so deep and profound, we can never, we can understand the basic teachings of it, but Lord, it's so deep that we'll be learning for the rest of our lives. Thank you, you gave us your perfect, inspired, inerrant word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us into all truth. Thank you that we don't have to rely on me or some human to teach us all that the Bible holds. We have the Holy Spirit who can speak through us, Father, and speak to us individually. We pray tonight that you would help us to see these things, these details around the story, that apply to our lives very much today, Father. And I pray you to help us to grasp that and help me be practical, Lord. I'm not sure exactly what you want to do with this message in our lives, but I know it's of you. So I pray that, as you said in Isaiah 55, it would accomplish the purpose that you sent it for, Father. Please help us. Please speak to us, Lord. And we just need you and ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a very important story in the Bible, the feeding of the 5,000. Now, this morning we focus on the part where it says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. But what's happening there is Jesus sees the multitudes and he's moved with compassion because there's sheep with no shepherds. And he ends up feeding all them, the 5,000 people. One of the reasons we know it's an important story is it's one of the only stories in the Bible that's in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's very few events that are recorded in all four Gospels. I mean, some of the pinnacle events, some of the ones that you think and I think are the most important part, and they are, they will not cover an event. And especially John. John's most commonly the one that leaves other things out because John is just covering 2 weeks of Jesus' life mostly, and he's covering a lot of the conversations and a lot of the emotions, and so where the other ones are more chronologically covering the events. But all four of them, including John, and I'll just name you the passages. I don't think we'll get to all of them, but Matthew 14, 13 through 31, Mark 6, 31 through 44, Luke 9, 11 through 17, and John 6, 1 through 14 all cover the feeding of the 5,000, and it's an important event. Now, here's what some people say that are wrong about the Bible there. One of the things they'll say is well, the Bible, it has the same story, but it says different things in the story, and it's a problem. It's a contradiction because the stories aren't the same. You know, it's so funny. I had written the Bible and studied the Bible for many years before I heard somebody say that, and so I never knew people act like that's a contradiction of the Bible when there's different parts of the story. And I thought, that is the dumbest thing I ever heard. I've been reading these things. I don't think they disagree at all. They're just showing a different part of the story, a different detail. And if I could illustrate it this morning, when I preached in the message, if I went and talked to people who came this morning, we had, I don't know, 70 people. We had 70 people in our auditorium here. If I talked to them and said, what'd you learn this morning? One person would say, we need to have a heart for souls. Another person would say, he preached about how we need to see the needs of people. Another person would say, you know, he talked about how we need to love everybody, Muslims and prostitutes and everybody from every nation. And he talked about loving everybody. Another person would say, he preached on reaching kids and seeing them grow up to be missionaries. Another person would say, we need to work hard in the ministry. Another person would say, he preached about how prayer and giving can be very hard work. Now, are they contradicting each other? No. They're talking about a different detail in the sermon and a different thing they saw of that. And this story is fascinating because if you just read one part of it, you'll get a great, important scripture. You'll understand it. You'll get it. You'll like it. But if you read the other ones, you'll find out what are some of the details happening and why did he do what he did and what was he feeling, because it covers more and more details in these things. And so we'll start in Mark and mostly focus out of the story where it tells of the story in Mark. But we'll go to the other passages and talk about some of the things that we learned from the other passages that he was experiencing. First of all, sometimes, and the first point is sometimes you need to get away. Sometimes you need to get away. Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. And he said unto them, come yourselves apart in a desert place and rest a while. For there are many coming and going, and they had no leisure, no break time, so much as to eat. That's busy, by the way. I've been that busy, and it's not fun when you don't have time to eat. And they were so busy. And so that was Jesus' plan. He said, hey, guys, you've been busy. They just come back from preaching the gospel all over. He says, you guys, we need a break. Let's go apart away from people. Because the truth is, in most cases, people drain you. And in most cases. Now, there are some people who are super designed by God as outgoing host people who, I mean, people can walk in their house all day long and they just think it's fun and great and everything else. But most people, it's a lot of work to be with people and help people and talk to people and serve people and do all the things, especially when you're healing them and teaching them and doing all that stuff. It's giving out. And he says, you know, we need to get apart and go and pray. And Jesus eventually did. But not when he planned. We won't get there, but Jesus eventually, we'll turn there in a little while, but Jesus eventually got away, but he didn't get a while. That was his plan, was to get away. Rest is a good thing if you're working hard. Rest is a bad thing if you're not doing anything. Okay, the Lord worked for 6 days, and he rested in the seventh and was refreshed. I want to say, rest is earned. If you're laying around, if you're doing nothing with your life, if you're lazy, your whole life is rest. And by the way, you'll be more tired, by the way. Bible says slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. Do not be lazy. You will never have energy to get up and do anything once you start being lazy. You'll say, I'm just too tired because you're lazy. Rest is for people who have exhausted themselves. And then it's a sweet thing. And there's a time when you need to just take a break, get away. Now, please, 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 please. This is not the message. Do not call off work to rest and lie to your boss and say you're sick. That's not ethical. First of all, it's lying. Second of all, they're counting on you. Okay? Just take your day off. Find a day off. And if your work doesn't give you a day off, then get a different job. Because you need days off. The Lord rested and was refreshed. If the Lord is refreshed, we could use some refreshing. I think that, and there's a time when you need to get time apart, and it's good. And I'm not preaching a rest today because we're going to talk about the opposite of that, but it is okay, and it's good, and you can get refreshed. But you cannot always get rest. This is the problem. Sometimes it's good to get away, and you need to get away, and sometimes it doesn't work out where you want to get rest. Let's see, John chapter 9. Jesus talks about how, you know, there's just a time when you got to work. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go. There's a time when you can't be selfish. And this is a lot of the message, and I'm going to get way ahead of myself here. a lot of the message today is that you want rest, you need rest, there's a time to get away, you want to get away, but something more important comes up. You're ready to just lay down and conk on the couch, and the kid comes up and says, "Will you read a book to me?" Or, you know, somebody calls you and says, "Hey, I'm reading some help right now." Or your spouse says, "You know, we just haven't talked for a long time. Can you talk to me?" Now, they don't always say it in those words. They just sit in front of you and stare at you and start saying things. But you know what? And you know what you need to do? I wanted to rest, but you know what? I have something more important than rest right now. Men, this is especially hard for it. Can I just teach you about husbands and wives and men, the way they're wired? Women are amazing. Women just kind of go boom, 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 and just do thing. And they kind of are resting while they're working and having fun. let's take cooking. A woman, she cooks, and she's nibbling while she's cooking. A man does one thing at a time, and all he's looking at is his food. He forgets to eat any of it. He's just cooking and trying to get it done right and screaming at everybody who interrupts him because he can do this one thing at a time. Women kind of live life in such a way where they're not. Men are on a mission. Okay, take shopping. Men go to the store. Here's a man shopping. Car, they're out of there. That's the way a man shops. They're exhausted because they're intensely shopping. Woman shopping, I'm going to go buy, you know, I got to go buy today. I need, we're out of oranges, and they're walking through all of a sudden, oh, wow, look at that. And they're just kind of relaxing. They're just kind of having fun. And when they go shopping together, it's, where's the sporting goods? And because we think differently. We see differently. And men, they go to work. They work hard. They work. They want to get home, and they want to go. Their brain shuts off. Their IQ lowers by about 80 points. They relax. They don't do anything. But the woman's like, "Hey, honey, I work all day. I just kind of go around. It's fun. Let's just talk. Let's get up. Let's go work in the garden. Garden? I want to stay in the recliner. I don't want to do anything. Honey, there's only 1 minute left in the game. Just wait a minute." 40 minutes later, the game's still going. And it's because we think differently. And so there is a time, though, when men need to say, "You know what? I wanted the rest, but there's something more important." And not get grumpy about it. Why did my wife have to be in here when I preach this sermon? Sometimes you need to get away. Sometimes you can't. Look at Jesus said there's important things to do. John chapter 9 and verse 4, he says, and what's, wrong book here, let me get a John. John chapter 9 and verse 4. He says, "I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh with no when no man worketh." We could turn to John 4. They told Jesus, "You need to eat." And he says, "My meat is to do the will of God." People are coming, and they need to be saved. And so there's times when things are more important. Rest. Ultimately, you must think of life. If you're going to serve God in a busy world and serve the Lord at the same time, listen, life gets busy. And you have to realize, ultimately, your rest is in heaven. I'm not against rest. I think rest is biblical. I think it's good. I think God gives us a day of rest. I think it's wise to take a day of rest. Whenever you can, I just want you to understand that things don't always work out like you have planned. And sometimes, you know what? Life's short and life's busy and you're doing important, good, and important, wholesome things. Revelation 14 and verse 13 says this. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, and that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Don't you love the days when you don't have to set your alarm? You know, in heaven, there's no alarm clocks. There's no more time. No snooze buttons. Nothing else. It's rest. I mean, it's paradise. It's great. But it's rest. And there's just life. Life's busy. Life's chaotic. Sometimes you need to get away. But underneath that point, and that's an important point, because even Jesus said, "Hey, we need to get away." He never got away. He planned on it. He took the actions to get away. and it didn't happen. Number two, life is a roller coaster. Learn to roll with the punches. Let's go back to Mark 6. Life is a roller coaster. Learn to roll with the punches. Mark in chapter 6 and verse, and this is hard for the ones of us who are control freaks. Life is a roller coaster. Learn to roll with the punches. Verse 30, it says this, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, this is Mark 6:30, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So here, we got a little context, what happened. The disciples, he had sent them away earlier in the chapter, he sent them away to go do their miracles, the 12. The 12 go away, they come back, and great things happen. And they cast out demons, they do great things. The disciples, all of them who went out, came back, they had a great report. And it says they told him all things. What were good things? Well, look what happened. It said, verse 13, it says, they cast out many devils and anointed the oil with oil many that were sick and healed them. They came back with this report. Hey, look what happened, Jesus. We had these people healed. We had these good things happen. We had these blessings. We had these miracles. And so, woo, things are going good. He sent them out with power. They did great things. And now he's got his work multiplied. They're doing the same work he did, and things are going good. But there's a little detail. They told him all things. In a different book we'll read in a moment, we'll find out that's not all they told him. What happened around this time? Verse 27, immediately the king sent, talking about John the Baptist, an executioner commanded his head to be brought and went and beheaded him in the prison. And brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took the corpse and laid it at the tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together, and they told Jesus all things. So Jesus, first of all, he hears about the great report and all those things that happened. But look at the detail in Matthew that happens here. Matthew chapter 14. And verse 13. Let me go back. Same verses, same passage, verse 11 and 12, they brought the head to the king of John the Baptist. In verse 11 and verse 12, the disciples came and took the body. And look at verse 12, and the disciples came and took the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Now, Jesus got the news from the 12, but he's also got the news that his cousin and his forerunner and his friend, John the Baptist, just got his head cut off. And what does Jesus say next? Now, wait a minute. In Mark, what Jesus said is, hey, there's been a lot of coming and going, been very busy. Let's depart for a desert place. But in Matthew, it tells the heart of Jesus and it shows a different detail. It said, and when Jesus heard of it, of what? John the Baptist's head cut off. He departed thence by ship into a desert place. If you have to lead, you understand this. Okay. Jesus said, guys, you're all tired. We'll just go apart and depart. In his heart, he's saying, man, I'm devastated. John the Baptist was killed. He didn't tell them that, why that's why they're going, but that's what he was feeling. They needed to get away, yes. He needed to get away. Jesus said, you know what? I just got a hard blow. I need some time away. And you ever have that happen? You ever had that happen when you say, you know what? I need to stop for a while. No more news. I just need to go. I need to get alone. I need to get away for a minute here. There's too much. You know, Jesus felt like we felt. He was in all points tempted like we are. He felt that. And he needed to get away. Now, it didn't record that in Mark, did it? But Matthew gives that other side of it. Matthew saw something. Matthew maybe watched Jesus, and they walk up and say, hey, by the way, John the Baptist, they killed him and put his head in a charger and brought his head on a platter. And Jesus, they saw him, maybe go, we need to go apart. You know, it's been pretty busy. Let's go apart. And Mark just said, hey, we're all tired. That's what Mark maybe saw, and that's what God put in there, and that was what Jesus said. But Jesus may have been just as much wanting to go apart because of the bad news. Also, the same day, disciples said, hey, great things happened. See, there's a lot in this story going on, and it continues on, and it's a roller coaster. You got to roll with the punches. You got to keep on figuring it out. They told him all things. Imagine the up and down Jesus felt at that moment. Jesus, we got miracles and demons are cast out and we healed people. Awesome, I gave you that power and now we're seeing these miracles and now you've learned and when I go away, you can go and do these miracles and the Holy Spirit's upon you. It says, great. And John the Baptist, your cousin, got his head cut off, the one who baptized you. By the way, I know the people who told him that news too, by the way. There's always people who don't want you to be too happy. And so they did that. And so they tried to get away. Let's go back to Mark 6. Again, I'm studying this going, I got too much to preach about this harvest thing, but there's too many other things I want to talk about here. And there's too many things happening here. So he said, let's get away, guys. Let's depart into a desert place. A desert place in the Bible, by the way, it just means an empty place. It doesn't necessarily mean the sand and stuff. Sometimes they go to a desert place that's not dry at all. It was just a place, a wilderness. Could be the forest, could be anywhere. And by the way, that's good to get away sometimes. And it's relaxing to get into nature. And so they said, let's go. Mark chapter 6. And he said unto them, come, let us yourselves depart in the desert place and rest there a while, for there are many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much to eat. And that was also true. And they departed into a desert place by ship, privately. They snuck away. However, when the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, now went them and came together unto him. Jesus and the disciples, they sail away to their secret hiding spot, and they get there, and there is 5,000 men, women, and children also, saying, there you are, hey, we're here, teach us some more, we have some more sick people. Man, if only I had motorboats then. But they don't. And Jesus, at this point, he looks and sees them as sheep having no shepherd, and his heart is broken for them. Now, what would he have done? Hey, guys, I've been with you days and days and days, and I've been with you over and over. I just need to get away for a while. And sometimes you say that. Sometimes I say that. Hey, you know what? I need to get away for a minute. I don't want to talk about this right now. Right now is not a good time to talk about this. Or things like that that we do. But Jesus wasn't like us. He was beyond us. He did something that we might not have done. He meets them there, and they followed him. And what does he do? They came together unto him, verse 33. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion because they were as sheep having no shepherd, and began to teach them many things. Teaching is exhausting. And Jesus, he's tired, he's heartbroken, he wants to get away, and all of a sudden there's 5,000, he says, blessed are the poor, for there's the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. And he starts teaching them again. And you know what the disciples probably did? Probably about like I did in Bible college. They probably said, what is he doing? Peter, if I start falling over, pinch me. Splash me some water on me. He's teaching them. These people, they just chase us around. Don't they have lives? You ever feel that? Don't you have anything to do but keep following? We're trying to get away from you. We can't hide. And there they are. I told the time I was in Chicago. I was very tired, just worn down. Busy, busy, busy. And I just had gotten tired of running and not sleeping and just exhausted in college and ministry and everything. I was just done. And I was very exhausted, and it's just, and the gunshots and the sirens and the noise of Chicago, and just, yeah, I got tired of it all. I said, you know what? I did some visiting, I did some witnessing, and I drove off, and there was in Chicago, you know, a lot of it, early 90s, a lot of it was abandoned buildings and stuff like this. So I drive off to where the abandoned buildings are, the old warehouses that used to be something that was still with the steel industry or whatever. I drive off over there, and I just kind of know the area, and so I go park there, and man, I can sleep in a car. Some people can't. I can sleep in a car like nothing. And all I do is I go pull over there, I sit down, recline my seat, lay my head back, and just rest for a minute. I'm not doing anything. I'm just laying there relaxed, kind of dozing off, and all of a sudden I hear sirens. Well, that's nothing. It's always sirens in the south side of Chicago, and I'm okay with that. So they're coming, the sirens are coming, and they're getting closer and closer and closer. And all of a sudden, I'm parked. There's a car in front of me. There's a car ways behind me, and I'm just parked there in with these cars, some of them abandoned. Right beside me parks a fire truck. Sirens on, lights on. They get out, grab their hose, run over, start finding the fire hydrant. Here comes police cars. Here comes more fire trucks. The building next to me was on fire. I said, and I couldn't get out. I was stuck. And I had to sit there while they fought the whole fire going, this is not relaxing. There's times like that. You're just like, oh, no. I'm so tired. He was done. He's ready to quit. He's ready to rest. And there they were. He decided to teach them. And then, of all the crazy things, the disciples do what you and I would do. They say, Jesus, send them away. They didn't bring food. We're tired. Get rid of them. They came out of here. They left home. They didn't bring a lunch with them. They're hungry. They're not gonna. They could. By the time they get home, they're gonna be starving. They're gonna pass out and faint on the way because they don't have any food. Get them back home before they pass out. And what does Jesus say? Why don't you go feed him? He's already taught him. He's already healed him. He's already done all these things. He's done it now a second time. He's exhausted. He's heartbroken. His plan of resting is not working. And he says, go feed him. Look at the disciples. They want the people gone. Verse 36, send them away. If they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he said, give them to eat. And they said, we don't have enough money for that. It's going to cost 200 days' wages to feed these people. How many loaves have you? We had 5 loaves, 2 fishes. You know the story. He begins to feed them, and he feeds them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But I want to say this. Do you know how long it would take 12 people to feed 5,000 people? That doesn't happen in 15 minutes. They are going. He's handing them bread. It says, I was done. They hand them bread. They take the bread out, hand it to some people. They come back, grab bread again, hand it to some people. They're exhausted. Jesus is breaking the bread, doing a miracle, giving out again. He's already taught, and they're doing it. And nobody else has a skill to make the bread go so far. And he's doing it, and he's taking the bread, and he's taking the fish, and wow, another fish head. And he is doing this over and over and over, and he is feeding them. And I would guess it's going to take 4 or 5 hours. Man, it's not working. The rest time's not happening, is it? He wants it to happen. He wanted it. The disciples wanted it. They're saying, send him away, but it's not happening. Jesus feeds them. Can I say this? Often in life, when it rains, it pours. Job taught us that. Jesus is seeing this. The disciples are seeing this. This is ministry, guys. Guess what? Your whole ministry will be like this. When you think you need to get away, you have to do some more. When you feel like you can't do any more comes upon you. When you in life, do you ever just feel like, you know, I'm doing all I can, and you find out you have to do more? Understand, that's one of the things that God gives you, or Satan tempts you with, whichever it can be, either case. But Satan tries to overwhelm you when you get that, and you just want to throw up your hands and do nothing. Doing nothing when you have important things to do is not an option. They needed fed, they needed taught, and Jesus did it. He said, I have to do it. It's important to do it. I know I'm tired. I know I want to get away, but I did that. Next, Jesus did not pity himself, but saw the need of others. Jesus did not pity himself, but he saw the needs of others. The disciples said, send them away. His disciples said, the day is now far spent. Verse 35, his disciples said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. They're exhausted. And I don't blame them. But Jesus, what does he do? He says, look at there. They're lost. They need a shepherd. My heart's broken for them. Pray for more laborers, guys. He's thinking about the kingdom of God. His mind was not on himself and pitying himself. Jesus did not pity himself, but he saw the needs of others. We're not always good at that. Sometimes we see our own failures. Sometimes we see our own needs. Sometimes we see what we didn't get, how hard we worked. I want to break some huge news to you. Ready? Important you get this. You ready? You have to understand this or you become a bitter person. Life is not fair. Okay? If you are going to be angry, if life's not fair, you're going to be angry. You will have to do extra work because somebody won't do their job. You will have to work extra, give extra, pray extra. You have to take care of your parents when your other brothers and sisters should and they won't do it. This stuff is everywhere. The human condition is most people feel self-pity and think about themselves. Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw the needs. I want to say today, life isn't fair. You may have to do extra. Do the extra with a cheerful heart, realizing it's an opportunity to serve God. It's not what I wanted, but it was great. Last of all, and I'll refer back to that last point, realize the honor of serving the Lord, even when you're tired. The world is run by tired people. Realize the honor of serving the Lord, even when you're tired. Listen, here's the disciples, tired. Oh, good, Jesus let us have a day off. Woo, get on the ship. Oh, no, what is that over there? That's not those people again. Oh, no, Jesus, let's turn around. No, I'm always going to go there. Okay, go ahead and teach him. I'll be praying for you out back. Real deep prayer. Whether in body or spirit, I know not. And he wants to really, really pray for him. And then Jesus, they said, all right, let's send them away. It's late, Jesus. They're hungry. They need food. Send them home. Feed them. There's not enough food. Can't feed them. Oh, I can tell you. How much food do you have? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We couldn't feed them with $10,000. Well, you know what? Go sit them down and get them in order, and we'll just give me the loaves and fishes. Okay. How long can it take us to hand out 5 loaves and 2 fishes? 2 minutes? All right, we'll do it. We'll give them the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know what? I'll do it all, Jesus. I'm a servant. I'm not even tired like these other wimps. Let's go. Give me the loaves and fishes. And they walk up there, and all right, here's some bread. Take it back there. All right, here's for you. Hand that out there. All right. Here's for you. You look like you need more than somebody else. Here's extra for you. And they keep coming back. Boy, that's a bigger loaf than I thought. Man, they go back again. It's Wonder Bread. And they go back again. And they keep on going. And they keep going. Something's kind of strange here. Have you guys been handing out food too? Those are big loaves. Those are big fish. I thought the little tiny guys. One little kid was carrying them. I think God's doing something here. Wow. Give me a bigger chunk. Here, man, feel free. I wanted this stuff handed out anyway. You guys are still handing stuff out. I fed 100 people already with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Here, give me some of that fish there. We'll take some of that fish. Man, that seems like it keeps on going. Here you go. And keep on going and keep on going. And they keep on going. And pretty soon they fed 1,000 people. 2,000 people. 3,000 people. 4,000 people. 5,000. And they are feeding thousands of people. And they say, this is amazing. And by the way, we're talking about this miracle 2,000 years later, and they got to be a part of it. Do you think Peter and James and John are sitting up heaven going, yeah, I remember that. That stunk. They're saying, yeah, that was awesome. You don't understand, Brother Byron, you're telling the story wrong. They hand out the fish first, and it was awesome. They're pretty glad they did that. It's not what they planned. It's not what they wanted. It's not what the... But you know what you find when God gives you something to do? If you do it with a cheerful heart and a willing spirit and say, Lord, if you give me something to do, I'll do it with my might to you. And you say, this is what you put in front of me. I get the honor of serving you, God. What a privilege to serve God. And maybe you lose your day off. Maybe you're busier on Sunday than you planned. Maybe you don't get to sleep as much as you want because you know what? That person needs you to spend some time with them. You need to spend some time in prayer. And by the way, I want to say this. If you spend time in prayer, you'll find yourself more refreshed than if you just sleep during that time. Prayer is vital. When you put the things of God first with a cheerful countenance and be willing to serve the Lord and do it heartily as to the Lord and do it cheerfully because it's an honor to serve God, not a burden, you find out it's a great opportunity. That's not what they planned at the start of the day, but guess what? They were part of feeding the 5,000, and all of them wrote about it, by the way. And it was one of the only things that all four Gospels record. Isn't that wonderful that they got to be a part of that? It was pretty fun. They're going to be talking about it forever. Sometimes great works with God are restful. Look at Matthew chapter 11. I bet you they got pretty pumped up after a while, seeing the miracle, seeing God work. When God does something, you finally see fruit from your labors. See, Jesus doesn't always talk about work as something that exhausts you. It can. But when you're working with Jesus, it's a little bit different. It's more refreshing when you're working with him. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, take my yoke upon you and I will give you rest. And you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, working, taking a yoke upon you is work. He said, it's easy and light. Why? You're working for Jesus. The people had a mind to work in Nehemiah, and so they loved to do the work of God because they figured they were going to have to work hard. I want to say this. Life is full of ups and downs. You roll with it. Everything's not going to go as easy as you thought. That's okay. Life can have battles and struggles and be busy, and people make it so you have to work harder. But you know what? You do it for the Lord. People will need your help when you feel like you've done a lot of serving already. But you know what? The Bible says that it is an honor to serve God. An honor preferring one another. The greatest among you is servant. Jesus says, you know what? Let's feed them. And they... It's not what they started off the day to do. They started off the day to rest, but because they got to see God work in a miracle, because God gave them something to do, they got to be part of one of the greatest miracles ever recorded. And it was a great time. It's a great time. So don't go around in a pity party in life. I know your brother was supposed to take care of mom, your sister's supposed to take care of mom, and you have to do it. Your husband won't get up in the middle of the night. He sleeps through everything, and you got to take care of the baby every time. Are we chuckling at that? It's not funny. Every time I hear them, I wake up and take care of them. I don't hear them very often. But listen. You had to give a little more because somebody else didn't give. Nobody in your family's serving God, so you got to pray more. Instead of saying, why do I have to? Say, wow, do I get to? I'll rest in heaven. I get and rest. And by the way, when a day off comes and you can rest, or a vacation comes, enjoy it. Rest. It's good. But understand, life's not always fair. So live your life with joy, no matter what God puts in your plate. And you know what? When life comes, roll with the punches. Life's chaotic. Life does not go as planned. So you give your best to God and enjoy what God's given you. And just trust God and rejoice in the Lord always. And in everything, give thanks. Say, you know what? Been a tough day, but you know what? We got some good things to do today. Let me be a blessing instead of a Jonah sitting there pouting about how everything's about me. A lot of details here. And even Jesus wanted to get away, but he didn't get to. But, wow, did he get to do some great things. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray we in this busy, chaotic society, this exhausting society, we need people who learn that serving's a privilege. And we'd realize that life doesn't always go as planned. Lord, you know the thoughts here, Father. And I just pray as we give this message out, and we saw many of the things, how our Savior, Lord, it's amazing, Father, that he, when he was exhausted, looked and said, I'm moved with compassion for these people. They need a shepherd. They're lost. They need fed. They need saved. They need truth. Lord, may we be people who are thinking of others, not about what we're losing. Thinking about how honored and privileged we are to give up something for the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, you said we never give up lands or family or riches or anything without receiving 100-fold. We just pray that we would go through life cheerfully, feeling honored that we get to serve our families, feeling honored we get to serve our church family, feeling honored that we get to serve you. Help us to be like Jesus, that just kind of lost himself and others. He truly loved his neighbor as himself. Help us to get this, and help us to not be dragged down in pity and misery in life when it gets busy and tiring. Lord, just say whatever else you had for us to learn, whatever you wanted to speak to each person, may we get it, may we live it, may we be excited about it, and may we serve you and be like our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.